Sensational, guys. Thank you so much for just leading us on like that, Kerry, and all the others that just joined in with the music and instruments. It was just a precious time. Children, you're free to go with Lexi, I think it is, upstairs, your children's church. And the rest of us, fasten your seatbelts and get ready. Jesus. You know, we've had a couple of pretty good amazing weeks, the last couple of weeks, and and even today, like the worship and the exalting God is incredible. Going back a couple of weeks ago, I remember we just sang. And at the end of it, I just said, look, I've got something to share, but I can't get up and preach in this. God had just been so powerfully working on our lives as we worshipped Him and spent time just honouring Him in the songs that we sang. And much, you know, older songs, but they were songs we all could just sing and get lost in and worship God in. And at the end of that, a lot of people just felt the tangible, powerful presence of God. And it's quite amazing how that's not something that is constantly felt or experienced in people's lives. But you know, if we spend time with God and if we get to know Him and develop a relationship with Him, there is always that capacity for God to make Himself known to us in ways we perhaps never have. And I wish we could do that more often. I really do. But it was brought up last week when I talked about the Shekinah glory of God and how God's presence was manifested in the Scriptures and how that can be part of our experience. And then the Shekinah glory can be portrayed as the evident or sensing of the powerful and manifested glory of God. Now, of course, back in the days of the Old Testament, we'll cover in a minute, but what causes God to respond like that to His people? What causes God to show up in a way that is just intense? And His glory can be described and is described as His weightiness. It's not like it's, you know, some massive intensity, but it just envelops people in such a way. Sometimes they fall on their face. Sometimes they kneel. Sometimes they just can't seem to do anything but just get lost in that intensity of that amazing presence of God. And what role do we play in allowing that to happen? How does that come about in the lives of God's people in a way that is so real? If I go back into the Old Covenant, when the nation was dedicating the temple and gathered for that, and the priests initially were dedicated, they dedicated themselves and they prepared themselves. There was preparation by the musicians and the singers. And then there was preparation of the old temple that they built there, or the Solomon's temple. And all aspects of the furniture that was placed and put into its place and designed to exalt or to be part of the worship, its preparation was all there to honor God or for Him to be able to come. And in the Scriptures where it says this, and when the priests came out of the holy place, for they had consecrated themselves, there's their preparation without regard to their divisions, and all the Levitical singers, and Asaph, and Heman, and Jeduthun, their sons, and their kinsmen, arrayed in fine linen. They'd prepared themselves. They had cymbals, and harps, and lyres, and musical instruments, and stood east of the altar with 120 priests with trumpets. Oh, man, that'd be a day and a half for me. I love trumpets, I do. And I can't imagine what it'd be like when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. Whew. when God's trumpet sounds and it heralds the end of this age and the return of the Lord Jesus, man, I might even pull mine out and join in on it. It would be amazing. Love it. Love a trumpet. I have to get a bit of practice up. My lips have gone all soft. Takes a tough lip to play a trumpet, I'll tell you. But the 120 of them. 120 is an incredible name, an incredible number. It's a number depicting the end of all flesh. And whenever the number 120 is used in Scripture, it's used to say flesh is out of the way and God's in control. And it's amazing that even looking at the era that we're living in now, if you go right back to the times of Adam, and there's some disciplines and conjectures and thoughts on how far ago that was. But if you look at the Hebrew era, they had 50 years as years of Jubilee. And 120 years times 50 years of Jubilee comes to around 6,000 years. We're somewhere right at the very end of the 5,000s and getting close to the 6,000 on the Jewish calendar. So maybe the 120 Jubilees are a time signaling the return of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not putting figures on it or dates or times or whatever, but I can't see this world going on much more the way that it is without the return of Christ coming in and intervening in this craziness. I really can't. I just don't know how long we got. 5 years, 50 years, I have no idea. Could be less than that. But we just got to trust God that His timing is the perfect timing. There will be 120 or something which will signify or signal in the end of all flesh and the reign and the rule of the Lord Jesus on this planet in His return. So all these singers and their harps and their trumpets. And it was the duty of the trumpeters and the singers to make themselves heard in unison, sounding as one sound. Man, I tell you what, when you see something like what happened up there with the singing today, there was unison. And God loves unison. God loves one sound. God, there's no mixture of sounds. There's no confusion. There's no disarray. It comes with a perfect presence and presentation of what God's purposes in and intent are for the actual service. Kerry waits on God. She says, God, what do I do for today? I'm sure she must have read my notes. Because, man, does it, that what she's put on up there and the singing and the way the music went. Oh, my God, you're so amazing. You orchestrated it before we even... She got no idea what I got up to going to talk about today. But God orchestrates it by His Spirit. And I just love that. I just love that. And so they're sounding with one sound in praise and thanksgiving to God. And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other music instrument to praise the Lord, it says, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. The focus is on God. It's not on, I'm so good and Jesus loves me. Or songs of the, froth and bubble lollipop songs that a lot of the Christian songs are all about today. This is a song of praise and worship to God that goes straight in. And they sounded with one sound and there's no room for individuality or disunity. The guitars, the piano, the organ, the keyboard is all in harmony and unity. And the people sing with one sound. I love it. I love it. We're just almost there. There's no room for criticism or separation. We're all singing for God. And as they made that particular sound work well, I realized something, what the Bible tells us. We are a kingdom of priests to our God, the Bible tells us. I'm going to get into this in a moment and show you that in the Scriptures. In fact, I'll do it now. We've got to have kingdom thinking. in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says this: to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. You know, the Bible says that the day of the Lord, that it is coming, is a great and a terrible day. It's great for us, and it's terrible for the ones that don't know him. I think it's got its twofold aspect there. It's not a day that's great or terrible. It's great and terrible, because it's going to have an effect on people. Either it's a great day, yes, or it's, oh no. And people are going to call for the rocks to fall on them, because they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And they recognize him for who he is, and the fact that they've ignored him and haven't known him all that time. And in Revelation 5 verse 9, it says, you were slain. You've redeemed us to God by your precious blood out of every tribe and nation and tongue, or people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, when you look at the old covenant where they dedicated the temple, the priests and the kings had roles to play. The kings governed the people. The priests served and ministered on the behalf of God to the people. Well, that was their intent and God's purposes for them. But he's made us today to be kings and priests to our God in his kingdom living, which is post-cross, not under a subservient rule, not under a regime of rules, regulations and laws and rituals and bells and smells and incense and nonsense and everything they went on with. It was made to be for us in a different role, in a relationship with God. Firstly, the Bible tells us, and we shall reign on the earth. The role of a king is to reign. And if he's made me to be a king, how come? What sort of a king am I? The Bible tells me that we've been made joint heirs together with Christ. Wow. He's King of Glory. No, he didn't say subservient heirs, joint heirs. We have a role in Christ to be his representatives, to be his life in person, just filling us. And reigning in life by one Christ Jesus is what the Bible requests and tells of us that we're able to do. To reign in life, not life reign over us. A lot of people, you know, they say, oh, how are you going? Oh, I'm okay under the circumstance. What are you doing under circumstances? We're supposed to take them, they're supposed to be under our feet. We're supposed to rule and reign in Christ Jesus. Man, talk to some people, they say, oh, the devil's been on my back. What's he doing there? He's supposed to be under your feet. How'd you let him get up there? You know, we're reigning as kings in Christ Jesus. You know, oh, everything got down on me. Well, the Bible says, cast your cares onto the Lord, for he cares for you. Start to rule and reign in Christ Jesus, by one Christ Jesus. He'll give us the capacity. He'll empower us. Read Psalm 23 over and over and over again. Read Psalm 91 over and over and over again. And see what the capacity of God is to be who he wants to be in our lives. It's important to know those things. The role of being active in God's kingdom and kingdom-minded is a heart that walks in constant preparation, just as they did in the Old Testament, dedicating the temple. We are to walk a dedicated life to God in preparation for God to be who he wants to be in and through us. Wow. Oh, I've never felt the power of God. Prepare yourself. Get a heart of preparation going. Get a life of preparation going. Give God something to work with. Give God something to empower. Give God something to manifest himself through. He won't share his glory with another vessel of a different vein or thought. He won't get into a corrupt vessel. He won't show up in a dirty vessel. He shows up in a prepared, sanctified vessel. Wow. I tell you what, that's our role, to see the Shekinah glory or the intensity of God's glory in our lives. It's so good. We walk in constant preparation. You know, going back to the sounding with one sound, Psalm 133 says this: "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren or the congregation dwell together in unity or harmony. It's like the fine oil on the head running down the beard of Aaron's beard. It ran down Aaron's beard over the collar of his garment." You know, when Aaron was anointed, he was anointed to be the high priest. And they mixed up an anointing oil as God's recipe demanded, and they prepared it. And when Aaron was dedicated, they didn't come along and dip a little tip of oil on his head. Look out when I pray for you one day. He had the whole bucket load poured over him. It says it ran over his beard, down over his collar, and to the skirts of his garment. He was prepared and anointed to go into the very holy of holies, into the very throne room presence of God that was given for Israel to know God there and to get and hear the voice of God right in that very era. And you know, the problem with the nation was they never took ownership of God. They used to say to Moses, "Go and ask your God what we should do. And when he tells you what to do, we'll do it." And they never did anyway, because they never ever took ownership of God. God wanted them to be a nation of priests to the world. The whole of Israel could have been anointed just like Aaron and been a nation that ministered the life and the power of God to the world. And instead, they needed a group of priests to minister to them all the time because they were so wayward and self-centered, walking in the flesh. Man, it doesn't work that way. And they fail God in that realm. And God said to them at that time, "But as truly as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. I will raise up a people." I will raise up a people. Man, he planned the church right back from the beginning of times. He planned for Christ to come before the foundation of the world. He knew where the world would go and what would happen. He said, "They're going to need a savior. They're going to need salvation. And they're going to need a way to come back into my presence." Hoo-wee. We should be treasuring that. We should be looking for that. We should be hungering after that. The Bible says, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, which is right standing in God, for they shall be filled." You know, Australia's got a Bill of Rights. You walk according to the Bill of Rights, you have the rights as a citizen to what the government provides you. When you walk according to the Bill of Rights in God's Word, you get the Bill of Righteousness, the capacity for all that God is and has for us to be made holy and righteous and accepted in Christ Jesus. Wow, what an amazing picture that is. Our personal life and our responsibilities and kings and priests are unto God, reigning in life, not life dictating to our lives. Our role as a king, as God provided, is to stand on his word, to be what God has made us to be in Christ Jesus, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, to put on the armor, to have our minds protected, our heart protected, our walk protected, our feet protected, where we go, a shield of faith, wherewith we quench all the fiery darts of the enemy and take his lies and nullify them and everything else that's thrown at us. We're reigning in life. You can't reign without the armor of God. The armor gives you all of the protection God provided for you. It's incredible. I can't go into all of that now. We minister to God as a priest as well. So we're reigning in life and we become a priest, where there's two areas of ministry. Like today, we worship God. We minister to God. Now, we can do that in the congregation, just like they did back in the days of the dedication of the temple, where everybody, the whole nation, was there. And the power of God was so evident at that time, there was a glory cloud that descended at that place, and the priests at that time couldn't even stand to minister for the intensity of what was going on and the power of God that came into that place. Man, I would love to see us just in that realm, not just as a congregation, but each one of us in our personal lives as well. We minister to God as a priest, but we get into a place of solitude as well. Like I read last week from where Jesus said, when you pray, go into your place of solitude. Enter either your bedchamber or a quiet place or a place of solitude. Close the door and get alone with God. So you're shutting yourself off from everything else that's distracting and that's outside, and saying, God, it's just you and me. I want nothing but you. Some people don't even find time to read a Bible every day. Some people don't find time to pray every day. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And that is an attitude of walking in the awareness of God's presence. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says which temple we are. And if I'm dedicated to God and I'm serving God and I'm walking with God, that body presence of God that's within me is constant, and I have to be aware of that. My preparation to be aware of that, to hear God's voice at any given time, has to be part of my preparation as a priest. How can I be a priest to God and to people if I'm not aware of the presence of God in my life constantly? Taking opportunity. Again, once again this week, man, God's throwing opportunities at me every day almost. When people come, I ran into a guy in Foodworks. I didn't even notice him. But he's there, and he's aged. He's a guy I've known for years, the grumpy Greek. And I said, Nick, what's going on? How are you, man? He said, I lost my wife 2 months ago. I said, man, I'm so sorry. I said, that's really sad. She's gone on, but, you know, where are you going to go when you go on? Oh, I don't know. I said, you haven't got a clue where you're going? He says, no. I says, Nick, you don't look happy. He says, I'm not happy. And I said, Nick, that's the difference. I'm happy. I got a relationship with the Lord Jesus. I said, that's what you need to get rid of your doldrums and become happy. You'll have peace in your life. You'll have joy in your life. I said, you've got to come to a point where you say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Please help me. And come into my life and change it. He starts getting all emotional right in the middle of the Foodworks aisle. I'm going, Nick, there's a future for you. I said, you need to know where you're going. And we got interrupted. It's all right, I know where he lives. But I've never seen a guy get so emotional. This guy, I've never seen an emotion in his life. I've known him for 40 years. And the guy was always just grumpy. He always never had a kind word to say about anything, anybody, anywhere. That's why I nicknamed him the Grumpy Greek. And it was sad. But he's got to a point now where his life has become aware of the reality of the frailty of life. So there's another guy going into the kingdom as soon as I get to him. He's done and dusted. I'm going to lead him to Christ in the next couple of days and go around and visit him. You know, it's just amazing, the opportunities. But we've got to walk as priests and kings and priests unto our God. We've got to reign in life for our own benefit, and we've got to be a priest for the benefit of God and others. It's important. And it's important to be prepared so that God can be manifested whenever the opportunity arises in our lives, through our lives, and for the lives of others. Well, man, it's so exciting. We just got to get yourself into that place. If you're not there yet, and if you're not aware of it yet, just go lock yourself in your closet. Shut the door. Shut yourself off from everything else and say, God, I need my relationship with you to be one of complete and constant awareness and preparation, so I can be who you want me to be in your kingdom. There's probably not a church in this country all around the world that hasn't got together today, and they start off with, Father, we come into your presence. The first thing I want to say is, where the hell have you been? Where have you been? Why aren't you in his presence 24/7? We're coming together, glorifying you and worshiping you in your presence, being aware of his presence. But you know, most people have got a concept of the presence of God. We come to church and we enter his presence. He doesn't dwell in buildings. He's not here until we walk in. He dwells in our hearts by faith. The presence of God in this place can be manifested as we release that power and presence of God, but it ain't here until we get here. Oh, I love it. Just carriers of God's presence. We need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of that and bring the presence and power of God into the situations. And as we come together, recalling and remembering what God's preparation for us is, to come together to sing with one sound, to make a joyful noise with one sound, to worship God with one sound and one voice, so that we're in harmony, unity, and the power of God can be manifestly heard and felt and seen in our lives and in this place. I tell you what, that releases so many people from bondage too. It does. It brings about all of the anointing that Jesus promised in Luke 4 when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring deliverance of captives to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty the hurting and those that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year. Man, I'm telling you, all of that comes as the power and presence of God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit is released in the lives of God's people. Whoa, I thought Jesus had that. No, but he said, I've done it, now it's your turn. And he made it available to us to be and do all that he started doing. Boy, where does God want our personal life and our responsibility and kings and priests to a God to be effective? Ministering to people as a priest, as his ambassadors, to bring God into focus and bring him to the attention and the lives of other people. When we're dysfunctional as a king, we don't reign. We cannot reign as God intended. And that's our loss. We really do God a disservice in that. It really is sad. But when we're not functioning, or when we're dysfunctional as the priest that God intends us to be, not only do we fail ourselves, we fail others and God. And we do them a great disservice. You know, the Shekinah glory of God's available to us. The intensity and the awareness of God's presence. It may not come as a glistening cloud like they had at the dedication of the tabernacle. Although I have heard of instances where it's happened across the planet. I've told the story here before, but I tell it again. When Ern Baxter, the preacher, great preacher from Canada, a guy who was wanting to build a church for God over there. They needed to build a new building because they'd outgrown the one they were in. And he was praying, saying, God, we need X amount of million for this building. And God said, go into town, book yourself into a motel, such and such a motel for the night. I have a job for you. He went, whoa. So he did. He went to such and such a motel and he booked himself in there. 4 o'clock in the morning, there's a commotion outside his door. And he thought, what on earth is going on out here? And he opened the door and every notorious gangster and criminal that was known in that city was lined up. And they're saying to each other, if it was any other place, any other time, I'd kill you, you know that, you know. And they're all talking to each other. And then they're just saying, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I've got to give you this. And every one of them gave him an envelope. When he sat inside and opened the envelopes and counted it, exactly what they needed to build their church. Not a penny short. But he came to Australia. He came via New Zealand. And he was in a church in Christchurch run by a guy named Peter Morrow. And he said, I was on the platform. And he said, I was just lost in what was going on. He said, it was an amazing worship. And he said, it lifted and it went loud. And then it went quiet and soft. And it went loud, and it came back, and it went soft again. And he said, I can't believe this. This is the most amazing worship. And he opened his eyes. He couldn't see the musicians, and he couldn't even see the crowd of the congregation. He said, the whole place glistened like a silvery, glittering cloud. And he said, there were two hands. And as the hands lifted, the worship went up. And as the hands came down, it came soft and gentle. And the hands went up again. And the worship ascended. And the power of God was so powerful in that place. He said, people were saved, people were set free and healed. But the glory of God was manifested. And God himself was orchestrating the worship, I reckon. Woo! He told that story here in Melbourne. He was talking to us about it. We had him as a lecturer in Bible college. And oh my goodness, I've never forgotten how he mentioned the preparation of the church is important for the manifested presence of God. Wow. So heart. Reality of heart and power. There was total importance in that. We need to experience that power. We need to learn to be a worshiper in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? Time comes and now is, and they that worship the Father will worship him in spirit, which is a reality of our relationship with God, generated by the Holy Spirit within us and expressed through the reality of the Word of God for who God is. You can't worship him for what he's done. That's praise. You worship him for who he is, and you get to know who he is by spending time with him. Whew. Developing that personal relationship with God. Loving God and loving his kingdom. And when we're together with other people, harmonize, walk in harmony, walk in unison. No time for nitpicking and differences. For there, the Lord commands the blessing. Let's go into Psalm 24, verse 4. It says, where David wrote this, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he will hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. You know, the strengthening of the protector and of the protecting and the power of God comes through us, like David had that heart to be constantly aware of the presence of God. But in those days, they could only do it through going to the temple, the house of God. This temple is portable. You can't go anywhere without it. Which means if the temple of this body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, you can't go anywhere without the presence of God. You're just not aware of it half the time. You're just not in tune with it. You're just not prepared. We need to understand the power of God that's within us, that can be released, that God wants to express himself through. Man, what a privilege. What an awesome privilege we've got to be God's parallel working portable temples throughout this planet, to be kings and priests for our God, showing what it's like to walk in the power of God, to operate, to function in all that God's provided for us, and to impart to others the life of God that need it so desperately. Man, I tell you what, that's important. That's so important. And now shall my head be lifted above mine enemies all around about me. Not in pride, not in arrogance, but just in showing the glory of God. And therefore I offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praise to the Lord. You know, it says in Romans, and I love this, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. You know, we look at all this Old Testament stuff and we think, well, what relevance is that? The New Testament is telling it was there so that we could be, learn from their experience, learn from their actions, learn from their mistakes, learn from everything that they did. and how they fail God, but how that they come back to God constantly and God receive them. May the God of what? Endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome, in other words, encourage and embrace one another as Christ has welcomed or encouraged and embraced each one of us for the glory of God. You know, it's important to know and understand that we are the vessels of God's intensity, power, and presence. Psalm 91, what's it say? He who visits the holy place of the Most... No, it doesn't say that. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. It's not a visitation. It's not going to there once a week. It's not. It's a dwelling. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, under His protection, guardianship, and covering. That's our protector. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my strength, my God, in Him will I trust. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall your trust. Typical of a chook looking after its chicks. From completely, God is there enveloping us at all times. But are we prepared? Do we have the empowerment of the anointing that Aaron had to be constantly, have the presence of God constantly available to him? We've got a greater power than Aaron had. He got saturated with an anointing oil that was full of spices and herbs and aromas and everything like that, that the people were aware of when Aaron was around. Here comes that man with the presence. But I'm telling you, we got a greater aroma with us by the power of the Spirit of God if we're prepared and prepare ourselves in an awareness to walk in it, to live in it, to show it, and to be the kings and the priests that God has intended and made us to be. Amen? I think it's exciting. I think it's one of the most awesome privileges that God's bestowed on the church, to be a carrier of the power and presence of God. Father, I thank you for your word. I'm so blessed by what you've shared with us today by the power of your Spirit. And God, we can be all that you've intended, purposed, and designed for us to be. All that Christ came and died to endue us with, to empower us with, to release from heaven to earth the power and presence of God in a way that was never known prior to the cross. That from that time on we could be a people of God that prior to that had never existed or never known a power of God personally. And so God, I'm just asking that our lives would be transformed and aware of the power and the presence of God that we are carriers of. That our bodies, being the temple of the Holy Ghost, are for us to be kings and priests unto our God. And praying, Holy Spirit, you would generate a thought in our hearts and lives. You'd keep reminding us. You'd keep ministering to us. You'd keep speaking to us of who we are in Christ Jesus. For you came to speak of Him, and speak of Him in us and who He is in and through us. And I'm releasing you and praying that you just constantly make us aware of the wonders of God's glory and power that you've entrusted us with. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, glory to God. Glory to God. I trust that's blessed you and challenged you and encouraged you and given you something to just really get your teeth into. As a child of God, you're a king and a priest unto God. And we got a lot to do, and a whole world out there waiting to see and hear. A world just groaning, the Bible tells us in Romans, travailing now, awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. They're crying out
for God's people to be seen in a way of that tangibly represents God. Let's get on to it. Amen. Bless you all.